We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
What I really wanted to finish out with, I was talking about walking in the victory. That victory is not based on your circumstances, because circumstances can look really gloomy. Like, for example, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, that did not look like victory. You know, everyone thought, the Romans thought, even the devil thought, he is done. He lost. But he was actually claiming victory over death. I mean, this is the thing, that when it looked like it's over, and his disciples are sad and crying, and his mom is sad and crying, and they had no idea yet. Because how can you look at the Savior of the world hanging there dying, and he gave up his ghost, and still believe what he said? And still believe that he is the Son of God, that he is the resurrection and the life, because that's what he said. I am the resurrection and the life. And you know, it must have been crazy to listen to this man saying, I will rise up again in 3 days. I mean, that's like, what? And I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy when you think about it. But this is what we celebrate, you know, on Christmas. Not only that he was born, but that he came and finished the work for us. That he came and endured for us. That he came and didn't choose the easy way, you know? And here's the thing, getting the victory in life is not always the easy thing to do. Sometimes it's easier to run away. Sometimes it's easier to avoid. Sometimes it's easier to just not do some things. But the easy way is not always the right way. You know, and this is why the Lord said in his word, there is a more excellent way. I will show you a more excellent way. And then he talked about love. That's what he did. And here's the thing, when you love the Lord more than anything, you're not going to be satisfied with just living like everybody else. You're not going to be satisfied with being quiet. You're not going to be satisfied with just living a normal, regular life. Because when the love of God comes and fills you, you realize, man, this God is pretty big. He is awesome. He is, you know, I mean, this is what happened to me when I was in the River Church, and I was seeing people getting touched by the power of God, and I was not getting touched by the power of God for many months. And I was thinking, no, many are called, few are chosen, you know, and the enemy always uses that scripture out of context to tell everybody, actually, nobody's chosen. That's what he's doing. Everybody, you know, thinking the same thing, like, how can I be it? And if I think I'm it, that means I'm prideful. That means I'm thinking too much of myself. And that's really the enemy. That's the stupidest thing you can think. Because the word says he's looking for people to show himself strong through. And, you know, it says that those who know their God will do exploits. That means great and noticeable things. Not a few chosen ones. It says those who know their God. And it is God's absolute, ultimate will that every single person comes to know him. That's why he sent Jesus. And we know Jesus came and died the same death for every single person. There is absolutely no arguing that. He died the same death and he poured out the same power of the Holy Ghost on every single one who believes. And he said those who ask will receive, especially the Holy Ghost. Especially the Holy Ghost. And so I was saying, you know, walking in victory means walking in good works. And you walk in good works by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's really the Holy Ghost who enables you to do these things. And so walking in victory ultimately means to walk in the Holy Spirit. To walk in the Holy Spirit. And the world and being around the things of the world will always try to pull you into walking back in the natural. Walking like everybody else. Reacting like everybody else. Doing what everybody else is doing. You know, everyone worries. Everyone, you know, thinks about this. Everyone does that. Well, not me. I'm not everyone. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. God lives on the inside of me. How can I be discouraged? How can I be defeated? How can I be even depressed? It is impossible. Absolutely impossible. Even if circumstances look absolutely different. You know, Jesus was hanging on the cross and the Bible says he was thinking of the joy set before him. How can you be hanging on a cross in pain, you know, nailed to the cross by the same people you came to save. I mean, this is like the point where you're like, man, really, I'm doing that for these people? What the heck was I thinking? They don't deserve that. They should all go to hell. That's what, you know, any like natural carnal mind would be thinking. But thank God that Jesus had the mind of Jesus, you know? We have the mind of Christ. He had the mind of Christ. He does not think like many people think. He does not react like other people react. You know, he was being led like a sheep to the slaughter, and at the same time he was saying, God forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, people, I have so many discussions with people, you know, Muslims, all kinds of different faiths, you know, and they're trying to tell me that Jesus is not the Son of God. I was like, really? I mean, this is like the craziest thing anyone can tell me. Like, he was not the Son of God. So how then did he go on that cross if he was not the Son of God? How can a normal human being, just some kind of a prophet, you know, go and do what Jesus did? It's absolutely impossible. Because the Bible says there's even very few men that would die for a good person. Very few that would die and lay down their life for a good person. That already takes, like, everything out of you. That is, I mean, the greatest self-sacrifice. But to do it for bad people who don't even deserve it. No, just regular prophet would do that. No way, no one can tell me that. Nobody can tell me that. I mean, we have trouble just loving our neighbor because they're annoying us sometimes. And they're pushing our buttons and testing us. And then really, you're going to just be like, okay, because I'm a prophet, I'm going to, you know, die and take the sin of the world. And no, really, you know, it's the most ridiculous thing. When you really have a revelation about Jesus, the stupid things that religious people say make absolutely no sense. You know, I had a talk with Jehovah's Witness, and they're trying to explain to me that the Bible says there's going to be a paradise here, and, you know, only 144,000 are going to go to heaven, and the rest is going to stay here. But it's going to be paradise, so it's going to be awesome, you know? And they show me the scriptures and stuff. I mean, they can show you some things in the Bible that are really going to make you think, like, you know, maybe there's something to what you're saying. But if you have a revelation about Jesus Christ and what he did for you, I didn't study out what they believe, you know, and where they get all this stuff, but there's something I know, that God is not a respecter of persons, and that when Christ died, he is the door, he is the way to heaven, he is the way to the Father, and it says the Father is seated in heavenly places, Jesus is seated next to him in heavenly places, so if he is the way to the Father, how can I, when I believe in him, stay in the earth and not be with him when I die? How is that? What? And so I was looking at them and I was like, no, I'm not going to stay in this earth. I don't care how pretty and beautiful it's going to be, you know, because they're like, well, God knows, you know, we're going to be happy and joyful. No, I'm like, no, Jesus Christ died for me and I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be with the lover of my soul. I'm going to be with the one that bled for me on that cross. I'm going to be with the one that was spat at, that got all the persecution, the perfect one, the faultless one. I'm going to be with him. I don't care if you want to stay in this earth when it's paradise. You can do that. Knock yourself out. I'm going to Jesus. I have the better deal. I'm going to be with him for eternity. Hallelujah. Like, what? You know, I mean, all this religious nonsense is just, what? You know, when you are so full of Jesus himself, when you allow him to come and just fill you, I mean, anything that the world is confused about, you cannot be confused about, because he is the truth. He is the clarity. He is the light. I mean, he is what ultimately, like, he is our revelation. He is everything. He is the will of God for our life. We are supposed to be like him. You know, if you don't know what God is calling you to do, something he's calling you to do is be shaped and molded into the image of the Son. Hallelujah. And you got to get busy doing that. You got to get busy doing that, number one. And guess what? You're just kind of like going to stumble into the will of God for your life. You just, you know, the door into the full call of God is just going to be like, you're just going to go through it and not even notice. Like, oh man, I found the perfect will of God for my life. I was just busy being like Jesus. I was just busy praying, pressing in, asking the Lord to make me more like Jesus. Asking the Lord to fill me with boldness like Jesus had boldness. Asking the Lord to use my hands like Jesus used his hands. To use my mouth like Jesus used his mouth. And you know, that's what I started doing in Bible school, you know. You start speaking faith. You don't even talk. And most people didn't even know what I was going through. There's still some things like people are shocked about what I was going through. And, you know, even now, like, I hate talking about it. It's good, you know, you have, like, one or two people, but you shouldn't be walking around telling everybody everything that's going wrong in your life and all the crazy stuff. But even when I talk about it, honestly, I laugh. I laugh. It's really something not to laugh about. But you can ask Brian. We were talking in the car, and I was just laughing about it. I was like, it's insane what is happening. But I'm like, I don't lose my joy over it. I don't even lose my sleep over it. Too many people losing sleep over stuff that is happening around them. But the Bible says he gives sweet sleep to his children. He gives us peace in the middle of the storm. Jesus slept in the boat and they all thought they were going to die. And Jesus is sleeping. You know, that's how we are to be. We are to be like him. Like, you know, our pastor said something. The most spiritual thing you can do is just go to sleep. Go to sleep. Like, don't wreck your mind about it. Go to sleep, trust the Lord. Of course we pray. Of course we pray. We do the part we have to do. We can't just, you know, not do anything. But when we freak out and speak doubt and speak, you know, like all the stuff that is not good, you know, then we won't see what the Lord has and the way out that he has for us. And so, you know, it's important to know. Yeah. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you live in the kingdom of God, it's unshakable, the Bible says. His kingdom is unshakable. And we talked about the scripture that we have victory and we are immovable. Unmovable, whatever. Unmovable. English is my third language, so excuse my mistakes at times. We are unmovable. We are steadfast and we abound in good work. Because we know we're not of this world. Even if this world falls apart and they're all killing each other and they're all going mad, they don't even know that what a woman is and what a man is anymore. I mean, it's going absolutely wild. They don't even know what marriage is anymore. They don't even know. Like, it's absolutely insane. And all this stuff is going on, but you know what? We are in the kingdom of God. And in our kingdom, there is a blessing of God. There's the order of the Lord. There's peace. There's joy. You know, the people think they're progressing and they're becoming, you know, forward thinking and all this stuff. And really, the rate of suicide and, you know, children that have psychological problems, because now they teach them in school, there are 6 genders, you know, in Europe. I don't even know how they come up with that. And then somebody told me apparently there's like 26 genders or something. I'm like, how in the world? And then they're surprised that now more and more children go on medication. And go to child psychologists. And they can't connect the two. And this is called a modern, smart, educated society? Are you joking me? It's absolutely ridiculous how they cannot, like, add one and one together. Like, this is a consequence of this, this, and this. No, impossible. This is helping us to become better people. And, yeah, what? It's absolutely nuts. But we know that in the kingdom of God, no matter what the world thinks, the principles of the Lord never change. This is what we stand on, that the word of God never changes. And there's many things in the world that change. And Pastor Jeremiah said that this morning, you know, we can't stop change and we can't stop time or change that. But we can know that God is a redeemer of time. He can even redeem time. So even if you waste the time in your life, God can redeem and increase you so you can do 10 times more next year than this year. And this is what our pastor said, is going to be the year of the more excellent way. And if you believe that and you're actively praying and trying to find ways to be more effective, to be a greater blessing, to be more effective in the kingdom of God, to impact more people, guess what? God is going to help you to do that. God is going to fill you up every time you enter these doors because he knows this person is looking for a way to be a greater blessing. This person is praying to become more like Jesus. And you know what? It's a constant process. And it's an awesome process. Because when you realize, looking back, you know, that you've increased and you've grown even in the last 6 months, You know, and some of you might think like, man, I haven't seen much change in my life. But get ready, because God is going to bring the change. He can make you into the person you always dreamed of being. And I'm proof of that, because I never thought I would be standing someplace and shouting and spitting, you know, of excitement. And I wouldn't even care, you know. And God, he gave me a revelation about these things, that so many people, like, they're held back because they're so self-conscious that they think, you know, well, if I ever speak up and I say something stupid, you know, then I'll be embarrassed for the rest of my life, you know. And there's so many girls, you know, they never think about preaching because they think it'd be so embarrassed, you know, if they accidentally spit or something like that, you know. And I already caught myself like 3 times doing that. I'm trying not to, but hey, whatever. You know, it's silly things like that that hold people back. You know, there's silly things in people's lives that hold them back. And honestly, like, there is a level, like, we can still understand. But if it's been like that, if you're a believer for years and years, and you have never prayed for someone to receive healing, you never prayed for someone to receive Jesus, it's about time. It's about time. And God is ready. He's waiting for you. He says, listen, I'm going to fill you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to back you up. If you say my word, I perform my word. If you go out in my name, I'm going to do and show you the power of my name. There's no way we can fail. There's absolutely no way when we walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. You know, and whatever challenges come, you know, in family and workplace and whatever area you might face challenges, you know, the victory begins by believing in Jesus Christ. Really. Because every time I come to the end of myself and I know, like, I can't do this anymore. I can't. And the great thing is, when you come to that spot, then I remember one time I came to that place. This was like many, many years ago. And I was challenged in so many areas, like emotionally and physically. And, you know, I mean, just a couple of crazy things happened. And I was like, and I'm never really sick. Like, it's one of those things, like, that really irritates me. And I was at this place where I was so confused about some things. And I came before the Lord and I said, God, I can't do this. Like, I don't have the strength to go through this. I don't know what's going on. And I was just pouring my heart out, just being real with God. And, you know, and he came and he said to me, well, good, because now I can do something. Now trust me. Now walk in my strength. Now walk in my ability. Walk in my peace. And I was like, man, now I'm always going to do that. Now I'm always going to, you know, one time you should get it. One time, there should be like this moment in your life where you should get it. We're like, man, I've tried this before in my strength. I've tried this before in my ability. Fell flat on my face. And then I just caused a bigger mess, you know. And here's the great and awesome thing, that God is never going to tell you, now I'm not going to help you anymore. You did that one time too often. Now I'm not going to get you out of that anymore. He never does that. He never does that. He loves you too much for that. He gave you Jesus. Like, the Bible says, if he gave you his son, how much more will he not give you all other things? All other things. So if he gave you Jesus, he didn't hold him back. Why would he now take his hand away from you? You know? And so many times, like, the disciples messed up. Peter, you know, walking on water, thinking he's, like, so spiritual and he can do it. And then he sank. And this is the awesome part about Jesus. He was not like, okay, I'm gonna leave you in the water for a little bit so you really learn your lesson. You know, I'm going to let you drown now. Just, you know, just go to heaven right now. I can't use you anymore. You were stupid. You know, no. It was like the moment he sank, immediately the Lord stretched out his hand. Immediately. So even if it's your own fault and what you got yourself into, immediately God will stretch out his hand. Every time. Every single time. I mean, that is something to be happy about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's the fun part. That's, you know, it's like any, you know, the world goes out and they get all drunk with, you know, whatever. And most of the stuff tastes so terrible. I don't even understand how they can do that to themselves, you know. And we have the wine, the new wine from heaven. We have a drink that you don't get a hangover from. We have something that doesn't drown your sorrows, but it actually removes your sorrows. It actually takes away the heaviness. It actually takes away the pressure and anything that can come crushing in against you. You know, the alcohol in the world, it numbs people. You know, I've seen people drunk. I've never came to that point where you, like, don't feel any pain. But that's what happens, you know. People get so drunk, they don't feel any pain. They fall down. I've seen people, like, fall down. They're, like, bleeding. They don't feel anything, you know. I mean, they're, like, running into things and falling down, stumbling all over the place. And the next day, you know, they feel everything. They feel everything. And here's the thing. You know, the enemy always takes the things of the Lord and perverts them. Because God, He gave us the Holy Ghost so that we are so drunk and filled with the Holy Ghost that we can't feel pain. You know? I mean, it's not wrong. Sometimes there are things that happen, and the Bible says, you know, sorrow may endure through the night. Like, we are human beings, obviously. Jesus cried as well. There is a godly sorrow, the Bible says. The worldly sorrow kills, brings death. It dries your bones. But godly sorrow, it leads you to repentance, and then it leads you into salvation. It leads you into righteousness. So, you know, there is a right emotion that you feel at times, but there is, like, this pain that the enemy wants to give you. There is a pain that he's preparing for you, that he constantly wants to give you back physically or emotionally, mentally, whatever it is, that does not belong to us. And here's the solution that God gave us for pain. It's have another drink of the Holy Spirit. Come in His presence. Lift your hands. Praise the Lord. You know, laugh in the enemy's face. And this is one of the scriptures that, you know, really helped me out a lot. That's in Job chapter 5. Job went through a lot of stuff. You know, if you ever read Job, you should read the whole book. Like, you just have to read it whole, because you can take a couple of things that he said, you know, in his anger and in his pain that were not right. There's many. Job was a human being. And just like we sometimes say stupid things to God and about God, so did Job. But guess what? He held on to his faith. You know, he turned around. He trusted in the Lord. And God blessed him double with anything that the enemy stole from him, took from him, destroyed in his life. God gave him back double. But here's what it says in Job 5:22. It says here, at destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shall he be afraid of the beast of the earth. You know, the beast of the earth, I mean, that can be anything. You know, obviously the Bible has, you know, a natural side and then a spiritual side. And so, you know, at that time there was many farmers, you know, and, you know, wolves came and killed the sheep and things like that. But it's really also like a sign of the enemy, you know, coming in and trying to steal from you, steal, kill, and destroy. And here it says, destruction and famine. Destruction and famine. You shall laugh. Now, when there is famine, you know, we never really went through a famine. I don't know anybody who went through, like, a real famine. But, I mean, I can only imagine that was intense. Famine means nothing to eat. That's something, I mean, you will feel that. That doesn't just, like, pass you by. You know, if you think about a whole, like, area not having water, not having food, you know, that's pretty crazy. And it says here, you shall laugh. You shall laugh at that. And the Lord, you know, he can tell us that because he has proven himself to be a provider to the Israelites. They were walking through the desert, and he was raining manna on them, and he was giving them water from a rock. And then they didn't like that anymore, so then he gave them meat. Like, birds were bringing the meat out of nowhere, you know, every single day. I mean, that's crazy. But here's the same God. We have the same God. So if there was some kind of famine to come, we can laugh at it because we know. Because we are givers and we are worshipers and we are lovers of the Lord. We are His children. We live after His word and we trust in Him that we can laugh. Where everybody else freaks out, where everybody else has no hope, where everybody else has no solution, we have joy. I mean, this is something that only God can do. You know, to give us not only, I mean, God could have made so many different principles. God could have completely created things totally different. He could have not sent Jesus. I mean, think about that. He could have had a completely different plan, you know? But he created everything for our sake. He created the world for us. He created these principles for us to live by. He created the world so we can have dominion. He created, you know, the things, everything for us to enjoy, you know? And then something small happens, you know, or big, but really in the light of eternity, nothing's really big that happens to us in this world. Really, when you think about it, you know, and this is how you need to go into the next year. Anything that you're facing, think about it in the light of eternity. Think about it. How is that going to matter in eternity? How much time and effort am I going to spend about worrying, despairing, being, you know, doubting, all these things? How much time am I going to waste on that? Because if I just keep my eyes on Jesus and I don't sink and I don't, you know, go back and I don't start again from scratch, but I'm going to keep building my faith. I'm going to keep testing my faith. I'm going to walk out this victory. I'm not going to draw back. I'm going to win more souls. That's what I said to myself. You know, when I needed victory in my life, I really needed victory. I really needed to overcome. I knew if I'm going to let the enemy in, I'm going to fail. I'm not going to finish Bible school. I would have went home. I would have been totally overwhelmed with everything that was going on. I would have, you know, thought I'm a failure because I couldn't change everything that was happening. There's things that you cannot change. There's just things that you cannot change. But you can trust God that He is able to turn everything around for the good of those who love Him. That's the scripture that we can hold on to. That, you know, sometimes we're claiming things that we're not supposed to be claiming, you know. But you can claim victory. You can claim victory. You can know what the Bible says. And you can claim victory for your own life. And then through that, you know, you can be a help to other people. And so I know if I didn't make that decision to fight the enemy back, to win more souls, to give more money to the church, I would not be here today. I would not be anywhere in the ministry. I would have never finished Bible school. I would have never traveled, you know, throughout the whole earth. I would have never led all these people to the Lord. I would have never, you know, met those young people, that little boy that got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know. And these are things like now you cannot even see where you're going to be in 5 to 10 years. And, you know, just thinking what God can do in my life, you know, and I'm really like, you know, when I think about it, I mean, everyone has their things, but we all have the same God. We have the same God. He gives everyone the same ability to step into great things. He gives everyone the same power. He gives everyone the same Holy Spirit. And I'm just here to tell you what God was able to do in the last 10 years of my life. He is more than able to do that in the next 10 years of yours. And maybe even more. Maybe even greater things. It might not look the same way it looks in my life. We all have a different call in our life. But guess what? Every single call involves mighty wonders, mighty signs, and miracles. There's nobody that God saves and then doesn't call them to do something awesome. No, absolutely not. It doesn't even serve God. That, you know, God is really out to show Himself strong. Why would He do that through one if He can do it through 1,000? Why would He do it through one member of the church and not anybody else? That makes absolutely no sense. God is even more glorified when every single person is walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. When every single person is walking in the victory that Christ has gotten for us. When every single person is pressing in to see greater things. When every single person is not satisfied with where they are right now and is saying, you know what, I'm going to believe greater things. You know what, I'm going to receive greater blessing from the Lord. You know what, I'm going to believe God is going to show up in a mighty way. You know what, I'm going to get more drunk than ever before. You know what, I'm going to have more joy than ever before. You know, I'm like going to throw things, like, you know, I'm preaching myself happy. Because here's the thing, whatever you put your mind to, whatever you start confessing, whatever you start believing, God is just ready, like, to just pour it out on you. God is here right now, and He is so pleased that, you know, people want to finish the year with worshiping God, with worshiping Him. That where other people go and party and don't even think about God, that there is a group of people, and you know, there's so many people in this earth, but God is here right now. Where two or three gather in His name, He is in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you know, I mean, we serve a mighty, awesome God. We serve an amazing Lord. And, you know, let's just make a decision to just do more than we've done before, to just pour out our heart to the Lord more than ever before. You know, I was really inspired going to Ethiopia. The people worship for 2 hours. 2 hours. And the thing is, you know, most of the time, it's maybe like two or three songs in 2 hours. They just sing the same thing. I don't understand Ethiopian, but I understand if you repeat the same thing, you know, over and over and over. And that's really what they're doing, you know. And they're singing simple things. Like one song, I asked the pastor what they were singing, you know. And he just translated it. It was just like a simple sentence, like, our God is a victorious God. And then they would sing that over and over and over. And then after like 10, 15 minutes of singing the same thing, then, I mean, I'm watching this, right? And like, they even get more excited 15 minutes into the song, you know? And then I start seeing how like that it's things start breaking, because many times revelation comes by repetition, you know? When you like, you know, you come in maybe and you sing, you know, our God is an awesome God, la, la, la. But when you keep singing it over and over and you really let the words like come out of your heart, come out of your experience, how good the Lord is. And then you think about the times, how good he was to you, how great he's shown himself to you, how many times he touched you, you know, and then after like 10, 15 minutes, you know, and then the people start jumping. You know, they're not like getting tired. And so many times Westerners, I mean, we like, why do they sing that song again? You know, it's such a lame song, whatever. You know, and that really inspired me. I was like, man, these people are real worshipers. 2 hours. And then they come in rainy season, so like 1,000 people are outside in a tent. And there's like water trickling all over and they like standing in the mud. Worshiping God for 2 hours. You know, I was like, man, I can worship God a little bit better. I can worship God a little bit more. I can praise God, you know, a little bit more excitedly, you know. I mean, there's always, you know, when we think about, you know, we just get out of our bubble and just you know, just make decisions. Just make decisions and say, you know, I'm going to be more excited about God. It's a decision. It doesn't just drop on you, you know. It's a decision that you make. I'm going to be excited about the Lord. Like David commanded his soul, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. And, you know, that's why I'm so excited to be here with a bunch of believers, you know, that we're going to rejoice out of this year and we're going to rejoice into the next year, you know, because there is no time for all the other nonsense, you know. I mean, so many people, like, don't even know what they're doing, don't even know what the next year holds, and we might not know, but I know something. There's more blessing in the next year. There's greater things in the next year. There's more miracles in the next year. There's more souls in the next year. There's a bigger building in the next year. There's bigger things in the next year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is something we can know. And that's what the world does not have. They can lose everything in the next year. They can be worse off in the next year. But guess what? The one in us is greater than the one in the world. He has overcome the world, he says. So we don't have to be afraid of anything that can happen next year. We can be excited. We can be excited. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.